Hey, good morning. I'm glad that you guys are here with us today. Like Varney said, it's a new year. I didn't see the 2021 thing. That's cool. You should have saved that for like a sermon, but you wasted it right there. So I'm just kidding. It wasn't a waste. It was good. Man, it is. It's a new year, and it's awesome. One of the things that was, I don't know about you, but I woke up New Year's Day, and I was excited that it was 2021, but I got a message, and someone's like, hey, check your bank account. And I got my stimulus that came in. I was like, whoa, whoa, all right. Happy New Year to me. And then my wife goes, yeah, they're just giving you money before the zombie apocalypse happens. So I was like, oh, yeah, no doubt. But, oh, you know, that's good, that's good, that's good. I had to give my wife that one. I wanted to take it for myself, but that was her joke. So, I'm excited. So far, so good. We're a few days in, and nothing's happened yet. I'm excited about this year. But one of the cool things that's really taken place this year and that I'm excited about, some things that we got coming ahead, some things that we were able to plan last year that began to, take root that are going to be happening this year. Megan already shared one of those. The young adult ministry is going to be kicking off this month on the 29th, and we've been, working on that, and we're really, really excited about that. Something else that's really cool that's happening at the end of the month is we kicked off a men's ministry at the beginning of last year. We met for 2 months and then kind of just didn't after that. And so, man, we're excited to announce that Brotherhood Ministry is back. We're kicking that off this month with a cornhole tournament. So we're going to do that on Friday the 22nd. We're going to be having a cornhole tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be prizes. We'll be doing other games. There'll be food and all that other stuff. So, man, if you've been eager about a men's ministry or connecting with some of the men in our church, man, make sure you join us for that. A few other quick things that are really going to be cool that are happening. Last year we had to stop doing a lot of different things and doing a lot of different trainings. And our moment makers, we tried to bring people on. Our moment makers are volunteers. They serve. You see their smiling faces all throughout this building from, when you show up to the cafe, to kids, to the worship team, to presentation. These are our moment makers. They're amazing people, right? Our people that serve every single week. You think they're amazing? Let me know if you think they're amazing. So if you were to ask, most of them, they went through what we call our moment maker training. And this is just a one-hour training where we tell you about the vision and the history of Kairos, what we stand for, what we believe. And then we help try to get you plugged in a way of serving and also in other areas as well. So moment maker training is back. It'll be happening next Sunday, right after church. We do provide lunch. If you are looking to get connected, if you're new to the church, have been looking for a way to get connected, that's your first stop. Come and join me, and my executive pastor or director, Chris, will be there with us, and we'd love to have you for that. You can sign up for that on your Connect card. You can go online. You can sign up at the VIP table out front as well. And then along with that, something we wanted to kick off. I mean, we kind of got away from groups. We love doing connect groups. We love meeting together. We tried doing the Zoom thing, but let's all be honest. While Zoom is great, it does not, do it justice of meeting together with people in person. And so we've missed that connection. We've missed doing groups. But what we've decided to do this year, or at the beginning of this year, right, is we want to focus on creating these groups that are also around our serve team. So many come in on Sunday and they serve their hearts out and they're here and they're working, they're serving, but they don't get to connect together as much as they might like. So we're going to kick off something we're calling team nights, where if you're on a ministry or even if you're interested in joining a ministry, man, once a month, every ministry is going to be meeting and, kind of just doing life together, connecting. There'll be some stuff about your ministry and your training. There'll be casting vision. It'll be a lot of fun. And so we're going to be kicking those off. Those will be starting in a few weeks. Next Sunday night, we're doing an all-team team night kickoff. So if you are serving in any way or want to get connected in any way, if you go through Moment Maker training next week, and we'd love for you to join us next Sunday, I believe it's at 5, and we'll have food there. It'll be a lot of fun, so make sure you join us for that. So those are some things that are coming, and then the last thing is kind of coming in February that we've been talking about. It's twofold. So we announced a few months back that we were going to be offering an Echo Ministry location here at our church. Now, Echo Ministry helps provide for just the tangible needs of children who are in care. So food or clothing and shoes and socks and even some furniture items as well. And so they have an Auburndale location. They have a few other locations in other areas, but we wanted to offer a Winter Haven location. And we're hoping in February that we will start man, the process of building out our upstairs room to offer that locations to families here in this area. And so that's really exciting that's coming up. And then you kind of saw we've been transitioning and turning our front area here into kind of a coffee house. And our goal is to offer that as a coffee house all week long. And so that'll be coming as well. So there's exciting things that are coming in 2021. And here's the thing. We can look back at 2020 and say there was a lot of bad, but man, God was... He was planting, and I've said this, he was planting, he was sowing. There were seeds that were being sown that now we get to see come to a reality here in 2021, and that may be the case for you in your life. What was God trying to sow? What was God trying to teach you in 2020 so that, man, you can reap the harvest here in 2021? And we're believing that God's going to do some really, really big things for us this year. Do you guys believe that? For the church, for yourself? My people online, I'm glad that you're here with us. Do you believe that? Let us know in the comments. Let us know by saying amen. And we are excited about what God is going to do. Now, we're kicking off the new year with a new series that was named, you know, for a good reason. It's called This Is the Way. Anyone, Mandalorian fans, anyone seen that? If you didn't, raise your hand if you're not excited. Can I have some people escort them out? I'm just kidding. Really, really good series. If you're not into Star Wars or any of that, that's fine. But it's really cool. But you know, it's part of that. I'm not going to talk about the child or anything like that. I'm not going to come out in full Mandalorian, you know, suit unless you want to buy me one. If someone bought me a Mandalorian suit, I would wear it on stage while I preach. All right. Good looking out. That'd be a lot of fun. Anyway, I wasn't planning on doing that. If I had the suit, I would. There's not going to be a whole lot of references to it. The phrase itself, I liked, and it goes along with what we're going to be jumping into, this is the way. You know, in the New Testament, after Jesus and the church, they talk about, you know, the gospel, the church, and going and making, they call it the way, right? And so it kind of just all tied in together with what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at and taking a study, a deep dive into 1 John. 1 John, if you remember, who was with us at the beginning of last year, beginning of 2020? Anyone with us at the beginning of 2020? And does that seem like forever ago? Do you even remember what the beginning of 2020 was like? I was thinking about it. I was like, that was last year, right? Anyway, so we kicked off 2020 with a series called Adulting is Hard, and that's true. And we went through the book of James. It was 5 chapters. And we're kind of doing the same thing where we're kind of taking a deep dive into the scriptures. We're going to be looking at 1 John. And one of the things that I like to do as well, kind of to help you create a habit or help you step back into a habit of reading your Bible or doing Bible plans, is I want to invite you to go through a Bible plan with us together as a church. So tomorrow, I'll send out a link on our social media. I'll send out an email and a text that has a link for us to go onto the Bible plan, and we'll go through a Bible plan also of 1 John. If you're wanting to do that, if you're interested in going through that the study together as a church, you can simply write Bible app on a Connect card or a prayer praise card, and then just drop that. If you're online, you can type that in there as well. I'd love for you guys to join us in that. Now, I want to give you kind of a quick overview of some of the things in 1 John, and then we'll dive into what we're going to talk about today. But there's quite a few major themes. In 1 John, the author John is very repetitive in a few things. So some of the themes that we're going to be seeing, themes of light and love in all of John's writing, he talked a lot about light and love. He uses the word the beginning or in beginning. He likes the theme of beginnings. He talks about sin and darkness. He talks a lot about, man, obeying God's commands. He talks about Antichrist and false teachings. Those are some of the major themes of this book. And what was really cool is I was studying 1 John and kind of just making note of some certain things. And in my study, I came across this phrase that John used often, and it was this is how. And he uses it. He says, this is how we are to be Christ followers. This is how we are to live. This is the way. And so I love that, and that's when we'll be talking about how the way that we are called to be Jesus followers. So there's 8 of those statements. We're going to look at each of those statements every single week, and we're also going to kind of tie in some of the major themes that John talks about as well. And so today, we're going to start with the theme of beginnings. It kind of seemed the obvious choice because, well, it's a new year, right? And it's the beginning of a new year, And you know, beginnings bring with it excitement and joy and purpose and drive and possibilities and fresh starts. And specifically this year, in the beginning of this year, it's no longer 2020, right? And so we have this new beginning. And John loved mentioning the beginning. Now, just a quick side note as we dive into this. First John is believed to be written by the disciple John. And just so there's no confusion, and I remember getting confused by this, you also have John the Baptist, right? And so I used to think for the longest time when I was younger that when I saw the word John anywhere, because John the Baptist was so important, is that it was John the Baptist that wrote the Gospel of John or wrote the, you know, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, but it was not. It was John the disciple. Here's a fun little rabbit hole for you to go down. Did you know that John the Baptist was not actually a disciple of Jesus? It's interesting. We're not going to go down that route right now, but something to dive into. You're like, John the Baptist had his own followers, and Jesus had his, and some of John the Baptist's followers followed Jesus, but John the Baptist was not actually a disciple of Jesus. Just, it's interesting. But anyway, going back to 1 John, there are some discrepancies about the different writing styles in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and you know how in 3 John, the author says it's from the elder, and it doesn't say that in 1 John, but the themes in the literary writing style have so many similarities, and so most believe that it is first John the disciple who wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. So we're going to look at the theme of the beginning, and we're going to start at the beginning. 1 John, we're going to look at, wow, guys, you're just going to black me. Where's my security? Like, this is the kind of stuff you guys use the tasers for, okay? I'm just kidding. Our security team doesn't have tasers. Okay. crap, I gave our secrets up. All right. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into God's word. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this new year. Thank you for a place where we can come, and we can worship you, and we can laugh and enjoy each other's presence. God, right now, as we dive into your holy word, God, allow it to teach us, to grow us. In who we are becoming in your son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, so let's dive into this. First John, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. You can follow along on the screens. If you have your Bible or a Bible app, you can pull it out there as well. As I read this, I'm going to take just quick breaks, just sharing a few little things. So here we go. Here's where he starts. Ready? What was from the beginning? Let's stop. So he's talking about the beginning. He's talking about beginnings here. And this kind of harkens back to, right, Genesis and creation. And John kind of saying, you know what? Jesus was there. He was there in the beginning. You look at John chapter 8, and Jesus says, before Abraham, I am. Kind of just, you know, showing that his divinity and who he is, that he is Jesus in flesh, but he is also part of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was there from the beginning. And so, you know, John is kind of hinting towards the beginning and Jesus and his divinity there. And then he is also hinting towards the fact of the beginning of Jesus's ministry. Now, you got to understand that this letter was written to the church some 60 years after Jesus's, you know, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. So 60 years have passed. And there were, you know, there were the disciples, there were people who were really close and saw everything and heard everything. And so John's coming in and says, hey, what was from the beginning? Remember the beginning. And he goes on to say, what was from the beginning? What we have heard. And so he said, okay, now remember what we've heard. What have we heard passed down through generations? What have we heard about the stories of our people, the prophecies of the coming king and of the Messiah? What have we heard about the word becoming the word of life, and that is Jesus? And so they talk about all these things that we've heard. And then, guess what? You also got to hear Jesus, the word of life, speak. And so we heard about him, and then we got to hear about him. We got to hear the word spoke and the truth and the life and the healing that came with it. So what was from the beginning? What we have heard, we've heard it, and what we have seen with our eyes. And this is kind of, John's just saying, hey, remember what we saw? And we saw water turned into wine. We saw the lame and the blind walk and have sight. We saw Jesus walking on water. We saw a dead man come out of a tomb. We saw Jesus resurrected. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to what we heard. Let's go back to what we've seen. Let's go back to what we have observed. It's not just something that, like, you know, we were driving by and we saw a sign. No, this is something that we observed. This is something that, man, we know to be the truth because we watched it intently and we fully understood its significance. So we've heard and we've seen and we've observed. And then he also goes, and have touched with our hands. Now, that's what I love. It kind of harkens back to Jesus' humanity. But then I get the reminder of when Jesus appeared in the upper room and Thomas is there and he's doubting and Jesus says, you know, touch the holes. So we got to touch where our Messiah, our rabbi was crucified, but he's here in our midst. The scars are there. He is living. God is living. So go to the beginning about what we've heard, about what we've seen, about what we observe, what we have touched concerning, and he uses this, the word of life. So he says, remember the beginning. Remember why we are the church. Remember our mission, our one commandment from Jesus. Remember the way. Remember. He goes on in verse 2. It says, concerning the word of life, that life was revealed. And he kind of repeats himself in some of the things that he's saying. That life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify, and we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, there it is again, we also declare. This is going to come in a little bit because he's already said testify, declare. And he said declare again. So what we have seen and heard, we also declare to you so that you may have fellowship along with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, that's a really fun one right there, too. I'm going to come back to why he was writing, and I love that it says, we are writing so that our joy may be complete, but we're going to look at this theme of why he was writing. He has a lot of that. Hey, we're writing to you for this reason. We're going to touch base on that next week. So he has this in the beginning, right? In the beginning, when what we've seen, what we've heard, what we observed, what we touched. Let's remember. Now, remember how I told you that John has a lot of the same themes and a lot of the same verbiage and language. So now, let's jump over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And let's look at how he starts. You can put it up on the screen. You can follow along. How does he start? It says, in the beginning. In the beginning. Okay, going all the way back. Go back to creation. Go back to, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word was God. Again, saying, hey, Jesus, man, he was there. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. Another major theme, the light and the darkness there. It has not overcome it. There was a man named John. Okay, so here you go. Ready? We're in the Gospel of John, and there's a man named John. Is he talking about himself? No, he's talking about John the Baptist, not John the disciple. There was a man named John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So this light was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So this is in the Gospel of John. And then in 1 John, right, there's this reminder letter of what they have heard, of what they have seen, of what they have observed, and what they have touched. And so we have these beginnings, right? And you go to Genesis, you go to creation, you go to the fall, you go to the story of God's people. Jesus was there for it all. This story ultimately was about him. The story of the Bible is all about Jesus. There's the beginning. And then you also have the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the miracles, the choosing of the 12 disciples, establishing the church. And so John comes in and reminds the church to not forget. And I think for some of us, it's a good reminder, right? Don't forget the beginning. Don't forget that it was God's plan all along from the beginning. It was Jesus, right? Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He was, he is, he always will be the way. You know, and John, he talks a lot, and he uses this phrase, we write to you, or we tell you, or we do this, and he's talking about those apostles that were there with him, and they saw it, and they heard it, and they observed it, and they touched Jesus, and these men were sent out, and they began the early church, and the early church, the foundation of the early church, and the foundation that should be of every church is Jesus, right? He is the cornerstone. He is everything. And the reason that John was writing this to remind them of this is because there were false teachers coming in and saying that Jesus is not the all-being. That Jesus is not the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is not resurrected. But John comes in and says the purpose of this letter is to come against those false teachers who don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Because you see, the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of our faith. Without the resurrection, there is no eternal life. Do you understand? Without Jesus, the belief that he was fully God and he was fully man, that he died and that he rose again, you and I don't experience eternal life. You jump over to 1 John 5:11, and he says, this is the testimony. This is what we are to declare and testify with our lives. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus. And it's only through him, belief in him, and life in him, that we are given eternal life. And maybe in your life, someone or something has come against your faith and your belief. Maybe somewhere in your life, someone or something has caused you to lose your way, has caused you to lose the way. Maybe someone or something has caused you to stop walking in light and love, has caused you to forget what you have personally seen, heard, and experienced Jesus do in your life. The addiction that he broke in your life. Or maybe it was the reconciled relationship. Or maybe it was an answer to a prayer. Or maybe it was the miracle of a child or of a relationship, of financial blessings, or maybe a job, or maybe it was a healing. It's really easy when everything around us seems to be falling apart and the enemy is speaking and whispering in our ear and we have these false people coming in and trying to destroy our hope. It's easy to forget who Jesus was and what he's done for us and what he's going to keep doing for us. See, there will always be something coming against our belief. The hope that we have found in Jesus. And because of that, listen, this is why it's so important. And this is why John starts. We've got to remember the beginning. We've got to go to the Word, right? The Bible, to remember about the Word, Jesus, the Word of life, the light of men. It says, be reminded of the beginning, of creation, of resurrection, of salvation for you. Here's what 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25 says. He says, what you have heard, here he goes, using the same language, what you have heard from the beginning, it must remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us. Here it is, ready? Eternal life. So he brings it all full circle, and he says, listen, go back to the beginning. Go back to God's plan. God's plan was always Jesus. Jesus was always going to be your salvation, my salvation. It was what's going to break that separation of sin and death and let us have a relationship with God. Go back to what you heard and what you've seen and remain in that. No matter what comes against you, no matter the hardships that you face, stay in that. And if you stay in that, if you remain in me and if you remember the beginning, guess what? You have eternal life. Don't forget what God has done for you. He's going to keep doing that for you. Don't forget that. Eternal life is found in Jesus. And we've seen it. And he's writing to people that have seen it, and they've heard it, and they've experienced it. And man, for you and I, hopefully we have taken a hold of it. Remember it. And don't let anyone or anything cause you to doubt. Remember what God has done for you, and take what you have. And you need to do the same thing. What you have seen, what you have heard, what you've observed, what you've experienced. We do the very same thing that John is doing here and telling the early church. Then we go out and we declare it, right? We tell people about the hope that we have found so that they can have it in their life. And here's the reality. When we stop declaring the way, right, the gospel of Jesus, that's when we begin losing our way. When we lose sight of what God has done, of the beginning of our new life in Him. Don't stop declaring that over your life. Don't stop declaring the good news over your family, over your kids, over your spouse, over your coworkers, over your kids' school. Don't stop declaring God's good word. Because the moment you stop declaring what He has done and what He can do, that's when you begin to lose hope and you lose your way. And God doesn't want that for you. Man, He wants you to remain in light and to remain in love and not to be, man, weighed down by sin and darkness in your life. We've got to declare it. That's what John did. He witnessed firsthand the Messiah and what that meant for him. He saw it, he heard it, he experienced it, and then he testified to it. He declared it. He told the haters and the naysayers that you're wrong. Jesus is alive and nothing can stop that. Jesus is resurrected and nothing can stop that, right? He's a man who boldly proclaimed that in Jesus and Jesus alone, we have eternal life. And so here's kind of the bottom line. What we have experienced in Jesus of Jesus, what we have experienced, we must declare. And this is the way. This is the way that John says, hey, these are the things, what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've observed, what you've experienced. You've got to declare it over your life. This is the way. Jesus is the beginning, and He's also the end, right? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is our new beginning. He is our new life. And what He begins in us, He will see through to completion, right? So I would say this for you. I don't know, man, what naysayers and haters came at you last year. I don't know who was causing doubt or fear of your faith in your life. I don't know what brought you away from being in God's word or being in church or being around believers. But today, let's begin this year in the word. Let's begin by walking in light. Let's begin declaring His goodness. Let's begin by never forgetting what He has begun in you. Don't forget. Go back to the beginning. He will see it through to completion. Let's go to Philippians 1:6. Ready? He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not done yet, right? He wants to use you. He's not finished with you yet or your story. And He wants to use you. And He wants to use your story to declare His way. This is what's so important. Because for you, you have a beginning in Christ. If you've believed, if you've confessed, if you've lived, you have a new beginning in Christ. But there are so many that don't. And so they need to see that hope in you. They need to hear that hope from you. They need to observe in every interaction, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, they still need to observe that Jesus is the ultimate go-to in your life. You're not going to be, man, tossed here and there about things that are going on in your life. You're going to continue to declare His goodness so that maybe they will come to know the way and declare that He is their Savior as well. We must declare what we've experienced. It's the beginning of a new year. And we need to go to the beginning. This right here, the story of Jesus, the word of life, we need to go to it. We need to remain in it. We need to be steadfast in it. And then we need to continue to declare His name over our life so that we can then declare it over the lives of the people that we come into contact with. I'm asking that you guys would bow your heads and pray with me. God, today we come here, coming to Your word, coming to the hope that we've found and eager for You to share Your hope with us even more. We are each facing, difficult situations in our life, and We're going through things that we don't fully understand or comprehend, and it's real easy for the enemy to whisper in our ear, and it's real easy for people in our life to tell us to turn away from our faith. But today, man, I'm saying, let's go into this year saying, from this day, no matter what happens, that I'm gonna declare God's good news. I'm gonna declare the way over my life so that other people around me will say something's different, something's good, something's new, something about them is what I need in my life, and we will declare your goodness to everyone we come into contact with. God, I'm praying that today your word has been declared over everyone's life who is here hearing this or watching this online. That maybe already the enemy has started in this year, God. Don't let them focus on that. Let them focus on who you are, on what you've done for them, that eternal life is in you, and let them remain in you and declare your goodness over their life. God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the scriptures and this teaching that they have for us. God, I want to pray for those, anyone today that maybe you have not had that new beginning. Maybe you have not given your life to Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. You've heard that he was there from the beginning. The story of the Bible is about him. He came, he died on the cross for you, for your sin. He defeated sin and death and the grave, and he resurrected so that you and I can have eternal life. And in that, if you believe that, if you believe that Jesus is God's son, and he did that for you, in him is eternal life, and that's what John says. So right now you can go to him and tell God that you believe that, you confess that, you confess your sins, and you want to live in him. Do that right here, right now, and experience for yourself today a new beginning, the best beginning, man, for the rest of your life. God, it's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.